Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Steve Jones Show on what's going to be one of the best days of the sports calendar all year on this Thursday. Matt Catrillo here with you. Steve will soon be there from the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, lots of pre-owned inventory. A great service department and sales staff. The sales staff, of course, is there not just for the sale, but to make sure that you get the right car that's right for you at the right time in your family, and it's at a good price for you and your budget. That's why customers are coming back again, again, and again. And then those same customers will take their current car and go over to the service department because they'll take care of you with whatever you need for your current vehicle. State inspection, any sort of auto repair. Maybe just an oil change. They got you covered at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. It is opening day in Major League Baseball, although just a handful of games thanks to Mother Nature. But it is still opening day in Major League Baseball. And, of course, round one of the Masters officially underway. Lots to get into with that. We'll get into the leaderboard at this moment in a second. But first, we will have Scott Fransky today, the radio voice of the Phillies at 4:06. Of course, Phillies opening up the season tomorrow with everybody else against the A's in Philly at Citizens Bank Park. And, of course, you can hear all the Phillies action all season long over on Eagle 107. So Scott Fransky will join us at 4:06 to preview the season. And then tomorrow, we got Jerry Dulac, our buddy from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Steelers Radio Network, and golf analyst as well. So we'll talk Masters, which will be through around and probably around and a half by the time we get to Jerry tomorrow at 4:06. And of course, we'll get into some latest Steelers talk too with just about 3 weeks till the draft. So that's what's coming up the next couple of days. Now, here we go to the leaderboard for the Masters at this point. Cameron Smith is your leader right now at 4 under. He's through 14. Then we got a four-way tie for second right now. Danny Willett, Daniel Berger, Joaquin Niemann, who we heard a lot about yesterday, and Scotty Scheffler, also in there, one of the favorites coming into the weekend. Cam Rogers talked about those two yesterday. So they are all tied at 3 under par right now. Willett's through 16, Berger's through 15, Neiman's through 14, and Scotty Scheffler is through 12. Neiman had a really nice eagle shot on 9. We might hear from that a little bit later in the second hour. Of course, he is playing with Louis Oosthuizen and Tiger Woods, of course. Woods got the standing ovation we all thought he would. He's even right now through 14. Had a shot approach on, I think it was also on 9, where he had a nice approach shot to set up a birdie, but then, or set up an eagle, I should say. Then the putt rolled out, and then he was able to get birdie from there, but he is even through 14 at the moment. Brooks Koepka is even at the moment. Dustin Johnson is 1 under. Jordan Spieth is 1 under right now. Rory McIlroy is 1 under. Charles Schwartzel is 2 under right now. Let's see. Where is Hideki Matsuyama is 1 over at the moment. Zach Johnson's 2 over. Adam Scott is 2 over. Patrick Reed is 2 over. Bubba Watson, 2 over. Sergio Garcia, also 2 over. Bryson DeChambeau is 3 over at the moment. Justin Rose, also 3 over. Louis Oosthuizen is 4 over at the moment, also, of course, through 14 right now. And Paul Casey withdrawed. So that's kind of a look at the leaderboard as we speak. So Cameron Smith right now, your leader, though, at 4 under. Danny Willett, Daniel Berger, Joaquin Niemann, and Scotty Scheffler tied for second at 3 under. So that's a look at the Masters right now in the first round. As far as opening day in Major League Baseball goes, just one game right now. There's just 7 games today, again, because of Mother Nature. Right now, the only game underway is the Brewers and Cubs at Wrigley. That's no score.
Group of cowards in the Bronx decide not to play.
Says the Red Sox fan over there.
We got to lift vaccine mandates to at least field a team. Now you got a chance to play. You don't play. I don't get what you're doing. I don't get it.
I don't get it either.
Nah, the weather out there is awful. There's no way they can play. It's terrible.
And hey, the Pirates actually made a decent signing. They signed Key Brian Hayes to an 8-year deal.
We're going to talk to Chris Mack about that in the next half hour. And then we got Scott Fransky. Scott Fransky at 4:06. That makes sense?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So that's what we got. So we'll talk to Chris about the Pirates season opening up. Your guy, Tiger.
He just had the one shot, and then the putt lipped out, and not really much from him so far.
Even
through
even
14.
Par.
Yeah.
Guess what? How many other guys are even through 14?
I get it. It's early. It's early. I know. It's early.
But you know, to be honest with you, you need to score, though, today. Because tomorrow the weather's not going to be good tomorrow. And the opportunity to score tomorrow is not going to be great. So that's why you need to get and that's why you've got to be able to score now. Because tomorrow's not going to be a scoring day in all likelihood. Now, the guy I picked is playing great, so. And that's Cameron. So I'd pick Cameron Smith to win.
Okay, yeah, he's off to a good start right now.
He's on the verge of going to 500. He's on 15 in great shape. But it's the opening day of Major League Baseball season. And the Cubs and the Brewers are already playing. Bottom of the third at Wrigley, it's scoreless. You got the Guardians and the Royals playing in about an hour. Pirates and Cardinals in about an hour. The Mets with the $2.8 billion payroll playing at Washington tonight. It's a big number. Reds and Braves, and then Astros, Angels, Padres, Diamondbacks. Now, the Phillies open, what, tomorrow?
Tomorrow, 3 o'clock, over on Eagle 107. 2:30 pregame against the A's that are in Pirates territory now, too.
Yeah, the A's have dropped down. Is that in Philadelphia tomorrow? It's got to be, right?
Yep. Phillies are home for the first two series. They got the A's this weekend and then the Mets before they go on the road to Miami and Colorado.
Boy, that's a lot of bad weather to deal with. You just don't know this time of the year. We could have a 70-degree day today, or we could have this kind of day today. Let's get to the commissioner of the NBA, who had a very interesting press conference today in talking about everything that is going on in the league. And he talked about, and look, the Ben Simmons situation came up, but there's nothing he can say about the Ben Simmons situation. He can't say anything about it because I'll be honest with you. If I am the Philadelphia 76ers, Matt, I hold firm. I say you don't get a dime.
I agree.
I would if I'm them, I would fight him left and right.
100%.
I mean I would say I'm sorry. You got to show up for work. You got to show up for work. You got no choice. guess what? Well, you have a choice. He decided not to. Well, you're not gonna, if you're not gonna show up, any day he showed up for, I'd give him, I'd pay him. I'm talking about rehab, whatever. Okay? So if he showed up for rehab sessions and things like that, I'd pay him. Anything he didn't show up for, no money. No money. Wouldn't give him a dime. And in arbitration, I would fight left and right. Now, as for Silver, he said, look, I'm not going to stand here and say I have a great solution. But he says, here is his biggest concern. He says, I have a bigger concern moving forward is the trend of star players not participating in a full complement of games. And he hopes that the league and the National Basketball Players Association can address it. Good for him.
You, sir, are my hero.
So, look, we've talked about, look, if you're hurt, you are hurt. And if it means you got to sit out a game because you can then play the next four because you did, totally understandable. If you were injured, of course you can't play. So let's at least start with that as the preamble to what I'm going to talk about here. No one cares as an NBA fan, with all due respect, it has nothing to do with the man's talent at all. But if Andre Drummond is sitting out tonight for the Brooklyn Nets, a lot of people are like, it's too bad they could really use him. But if Kevin Durant doesn't show up, you're like, oh, bummer. I was really hoping I could see him play tonight. Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Joel Embiid, James Harden, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, those are the types of players that need to make sure that they've got their lives blocked out for 82 nights during the course of the year if it's possible physically for them to play. You're the part of the product. Again, with all due respect, if Luka Garza doesn't play for the Detroit Pistons, the fans are really like, it's too bad he's out tonight. But if Luka Doncic doesn't play for the Mavericks, you're like, oh, bummer. I was hoping, that really hurts. I was kind of hoping he'd play. If you're sitting there and the Minnesota Timberwolves are facing the Utah Jazz, Karl Anthony Towns and Donovan Mitchell, to me, have, if they are healthy, have an obligation to play the game. Because it may be the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Utah Jazz, but really the subtle part of the marquee is, hey, Karl Anthony Towns and Donovan Mitchell are playing tonight. It's part of it. You know, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Devin Booker. I mean, there's certain guys that, to me, it's Nikola Jokic. Ooh, I saw a nasty article yesterday you would not have liked. The writer for The Athletic gave us his MVP ballot. He voted Jokic as MVP.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
That's atrocious.
And he voted Embiid third.
See, I can only laugh at that because obviously this guy has no clue what he's watching. I could just only laugh at that.
Yeah, but how many games have you watched Jokic play this year?
I've seen a handful. I've seen when he's played the Sixers. But it doesn't matter how many games I've watched.
Sure it does.
Because what Joel Embiid has done...
I have said this 1,000 times. Okay? You got to be there. You got to see it. I'm not saying who I'd vote for because I've seen Jokic play a few games, whatever. I'd vote for Embiid, in part because I think it's his turn, to be honest with you, more than anything else. But, geez, who cares who wins the MVP? But I thought I'd bring it up because I thought it would just, like, take the knife and just turn it just a quarter turn just to be painful enough.
Yeah, obviously that guy has no clue what he's watching.
How can you say that? You're saying if he did not say Andre Drummond is the MVP, he picked a guy that's really darn good.
He is darn good.
Well, then why can't he be the MVP?
Because Embiid is better. He's been better
when
all
they
year.
Played, who won? and guess what? He outplayed him.
That was one game. neck and neck. When it comes to the MVP, and this is why I wasn't a huge thing about this. I understood to a point, but it wasn't the end-all, be-all for me about when Giannis apparently took the lead when he had his two big games against the Sixers and the Nets last week.
You voted Giannis second, by the way.
Okay, I mean, that I would be okay with.
They're killing you. They're killing you.
I'm just saying, if it's not going to be Embiid, it should be Giannis. That's my point. Jokic, to me, is third. You have to look at the whole picture here. Giannis, everything explains for itself, especially what's happened in the last week. But Embiid, you're talking about a guy that's putting up Wilt Chamberlain numbers, and he's done it in three of the last four games.
He's not putting up Wilt Chamberlain numbers.
He's had 40 and 10 in his last two games. It's two of his last three games. He's had 11, if not 12 games with 40 and 10 this year. No one does that but Wilt.
You know it's an 82-game schedule, right?
I get it. That's why I'm saying it's the whole picture you have to consider when it comes to the MVP. And when you put it and you look at it big picture, statistic-wise, Embiid doesn't come close. When you're putting up 40 and 10 in double-digit numbers, again, getting to Wilt territory for a season, you're considered one of the best defensive players in the league. You're now the NBA's leading scorer at 30.4 points per game. Stop! You need to be the MVP. No questions asked. I don't care if a dude goes out and scores 70 in a game.
So Jokic is a bad player at 27 points.
He's not a bad player. I'm just saying Embiid's been better.
27 points, 14 rebounds, and 8 assists?
Yeah, he's a good player. Like I said, I put him at number 3 in my voting. But we're going to compare stats. This doesn't come close to what Embiid's doing.
He's got 3 more rebounds per game. He's got 4 more assists per game and 3 fewer points per game. Just so you know. And he's played more games. I'm just telling you. He's played 7 more games. He's averaging 3 fewer points, 3 more rebounds, and 4 more assists per game. Hey, obviously he is a joke. All right, so we'll come back.
And Embiid's just better, that's all.
You know how I feel.
I know, you don't. Yeah.
I could care.
Again,
less.
Mr. 45 heartbeat or heartbeat, whatever.
I don't care anymore about that stuff. I know it's about the competition, about who wins. I appreciate great players. I think Embiid is just a marvelous player, and I've said that forever. I've loved his game since the time he got in the league. He was worth the wait. Okay? We will take a break. We've got Chris Mack next half hour. We need to calm Matt down during the break. It's all gone sour. Guy voted for Jokic for the MVP, but Embiid third. Tiger Woods is playing well. He's walking. So now those two facts Matt doesn't like. I don't know. There's a lot of things you don't like right now. I don't understand. Aren't you happy for him?
We talking about Tiger?
Yeah. Aren't you happy that he's able to at least get out there and do something he loves?
Eh, whatever.
I mean, whatever. He's even par through 14 holes.
Exactly. It's early, so
I'll tell you, you could shoot yourself out of it today. Louis Oosthuizen's a heck of a player. He's in the same group with Tiger. He's 4 over.
Yeah.
He's 4 over. Bryson DeChambeau's 4 over. Bubba Watson's 2 over. Justin Thomas is a heck of a player. He's 2 over. Tiger's hanging in at even. Cameron Smith's playing great. He's 5 under. Who picked him? Oh, that's right, I did. Well, I'm sorry. No, I loved how he played the players. How he played the players. I was like, damn, there's something about... He seems on really, really good courses to play well. Scottie Scheffler, by the way, just quick note. He's played really well. He has made more money in 3 months than Jack Nicklaus made in his career. in terms of playing golf. That's how much money these guys are making these days. Wow.
All right. Look, Smith won the Century down at Kapalua. He won the Players. That's why I looked at it and went, you know what? This sucker's pretty darn good. He's really good. He's already made $5 million in five tournaments. You know what that reminds me of?
No.
I'll take a guess.
One S-U-I-T.
Woo! Nothing like seeing that game in action. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
27 points, 14 rebounds, and 8 assists, and he's a bum?
He's not a bum.
What am I missing here? I'm missing something.
But you got somebody that's been better than that, believe it or not. That's all
He's averaging 8 assists a game?
You have a guy that's averaging over 30 points a game, leading the NBA in scoring, one in defense.
The other guy is averaging 27. Chopped liver?
Not chopped liver, just the other guy averaging 30 and putting up 40 and 10, 11, 12 times this year is better.
I'm going to call Calvin Booth if you want. He's happens to be Nikola Jokic's general manager. Just get his impression.
Would love to have him.
About how bad you think Nikola Jokic is. I don't think he's ever been referred to as chopped liver on the air before. I've done a lot of basketball in my life. He looks pretty good to me. I don't know. Maybe I'm missing something. Am I missing something?
No, señor!
If I had a vote, I'd vote for Embiid. I'm just saying. Just be careful about, he's way better. He's not way better. He's just, maybe he's a little bit better, but he's not way better. come on. Okay. Let's, today's show brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory. Great selection of pre-owned inventory, all with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. And a great service department. A great service department that just flat out gets it done. Their ability to take care of diagnostics, inspections, routine, they do it all. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 to 15. Hummel's Wharf online at sunburymotors.com. All right, we're going to talk to Scott Fransky next half hour on this, the opening day. The Phillies will open tomorrow with the old Philadelphia A's. You like how I tied it together there? The old Philadelphia
Very
A's?
Very nice.
Yeah, it's going to be Connie Mack Day at the ballpark. The Pirates open in a half an hour against the St. Louis Cardinals at Busch. So let's bring in Chris Mack from Pittsburgh. Welcome, my friend. Great to have you with us as we liken the Pirates season to the opening scene in The Fugitive with the bus and the train.
Yeah, but see, this analogy follows then, Steve. It follows. Stay with me. Because somehow Ke'Bryan Hayes is going to sneak his way out of the bus before the train hits, and he's going to survive, at least financially. About a half hour ago, they announced the Pirates haven't officially announced yet, but it's come out that he'll be getting an 8-year extension worth about $70 million and an option for the 9th year. So,
wow.
You know, if nothing else, on opening day, they've got a little bit of positivity to look towards. You know, it's everybody's been so frustrated this spring with the way they've treated Brian Reynolds, with the demotion of O'Neill Cruz, and you know, a year ago we were talking about Ke'Bryan Hayes, and you know, were they going to get some sort of extension worked out? And it was a fairly low ball offer. Well, this is a little bit closer to something that, you know, a guy whose first few free agency years you're going to buy out. You know, this is worth his while. Mm-hmm. For what it's worth, it's the largest contract in Pirates history, which, okay, that's a low bar to clear. I get that. But if nothing else, it's them committing to a young piece that they foresee should be a part of the club the next time they're competitive.
Does Brian Reynolds want a long-term deal? You know, or at least a longer. How about longer? He's, what, 27?
Yeah, I think previous to this spring, Brian Reynolds was very open and amenable to the idea of an extension with the Pirates. I think after going back and forth over arbitration this year, I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if he is a bit jaded and just, you know, I don't want to say waiting for the next shoe to drop, which will be a trade at some point, probably later this summer or next off season. But I don't know if he would necessarily mourn the idea of being a former Pittsburgh Pirate, given that, you know, and we've seen this happen how many times now. They did it to Gerrit Cole when he was coming up. This sort of going back and forth, this negotiation over what are, for professional baseball franchises, nominal amounts of money. In this case, about $600,000 they were going back and forth over in arbitrations, which, you know, it makes no sense for the guy who's the best player on your roster. So yeah, if they came to him with a financially viable deal for a guy who is an all-star, and really the only drop we've seen in his performance was the little 60-game mini season a couple years ago. Yeah. If they came to him with a deal that reflects his performance to this point, he'd probably still sign it. But I don't know if he's necessarily as enthused by the idea as he would have been even just a few short months ago.
All right. Okay, so give us, we talked about Hayes and Reynolds. I want to ask you about Mitch Keller, because okay, he, not only did he pitch well in spring training, he was breaking bats occasionally in spring training.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't get the opening day start, though. It goes to Brubaker. Now, does that matter? No, it doesn't really matter. I just thought that was interesting. What did you think?
Yeah, you know, I think we've gotten used over the last couple of years to Derek Shelton being more of a new age kind of manager in that, you know, he's going to use an opener occasionally. He's going to bring his closer in the eighth or maybe even the seventh if it's a high leverage situation in the middle of the opposing order. He's not beholden to some of the same traditions that we just have grown up with and think are intrinsic to the game, including, well, this guy has to be my opening day starter, or even necessarily being the opening day starter means, you know, and fill in the blank from there, whatever your read on it would be. I also think that a large part of it is, well, JT Brubaker probably is the best pitcher in the best starter in their rotation right now, or has the chance to be. And they're giving Quintana the respect of, hey, you're the wily veteran who we're trying to bring on as a reclamation project. You can have the home opener.
Right.
And for Mitch Keller, it's added motivation of, you know, I've been here for how long now, trying to find my way, and I still haven't found it. Even though I had a great spring, they're still going to treat me like any other middle-of-the-rotation guy. And I think that, to be quite honest, is probably the kind of kick in the pants that Mitch Keller needs to ensure that whatever he did this offseason and brought down to Florida with him stays with him as they go to St. Louis and come back to Pittsburgh and embark on the regular season. Because that kind of bulldog mentality that really we have yet to see with him. I mean, he has folded like a cheap suit when he's faced the slightest bit of adversity through the first couple years of his career. They need to instill that belief in him that he can bulldog his way through situations. And certainly this spring, it looks like he's got the stuff to do it.
Yeah.
Now he's got to layer the mentality on top of it.
Yes. Although it's interesting you talk about Derek Shelton being a new wave manager. I'm being honest with you, I have no idea what kind of manager he is.
That's a fair point. I mean, that's a fair point too.
Because, to be honest with you, I mean, he's managed like how many years, Chris? He hasn't managed a meaningful game yet.
Yeah, I mean, he's what, 200, a little more than 200 games into his managerial career, and you're right. What do we have to go on, really? Because to your point, what meaningful baseball has he been able to?
And Chris, my comment's not a critical one of him. It's not. It's just an analytical comment about, okay, fine, you're doing all sorts of stuff, but what does it mean?
Right, and I think, look, it wouldn't matter who it is in that situation.
Exactly.
We'd be saying the same thing.
Yep.
You know, now the question will be, does he adhere to some of those, if you want to call them new age, if you want to, you know, whatever term you want to use when you think of the younger style of managers, you know, your Kevin Cashes of the world.
Yeah.
You know, will he adhere to that stuff and adhere to it strictly? Because my belief is you can be new school or old school, whatever it's going to be, and wherever you land on the spectrum, you better adhere to that set of principles time in and time out, you know, because what we got a lot of towards the end of the Clint Hurdle era was the infusion of a more new age analytical way to think the game from the front office and above. And you had Hurdle, who was an old school guy and just wanted to do what he was used to doing. And a lot of times you'd get something different from game to game, if not series to series, sometimes within a game.
Right.
And so you've got to stay on course as far as this is what's going to drive my decisions, and I'm going to stay steady and firm in that.
With some teams, the front office plays a role in lineups and so forth, as you and I both know. Does Ben Cherington stay out of that? Does he let Shelton do that, or does the front office, not maybe specifically him, have some input as to what they're doing?
I don't know if Ben Cherington is necessarily involved with it on a daily basis. They've got a pretty good staff that Ben has brought in and developed that I think is, and I say pretty good in so much as they embrace that kind of thinking. And I think Derek Shelton embraces it as well. I mentioned Kevin Cash. He comes from that Rays style of managing.
Right.
And I think he probably is used to seeing that in action and frankly, seeing it work some places, right? Especially Tampa. So he's used to seeing guys from the front office provide data and analytics and logical reasons for, hey, this is why we should try this or do this that way if this is the result that you want. And I think it is. It's a whole lot more they're working on it together a whole lot more than they ever have before.
Okay.
Managers and front offices on lineups.
Okay.
And I think Shelton still does have a lot to do with that.
Okay. Right. So now let's get to the city itself. Chris Mack joining us on the show. Coming up, Ten Emmerich, who is a relative of the Suits, and we have to air him next from the Masters.